Our scripture reading this morning from the last book in the Bible, book of Revelation, chapter 21, the first five verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be His peoples, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Let me repeat, "I am making all things new." And also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Here ends our scripture reading. May you and I discern God's word and will for our lives today. I remember some years ago, after 4 years of study in the Netherlands, I went to say a final farewell to my professor. And I must be honest to say that I've grown very fond of him. It was very tough. And I was not quite ready to say goodbye yet. And as I spoke with him just before I left, I said, "Well, Professor, this is the end then of maybe the most wonderful and best period that I can remember in my life." He looked at me and he said, "No, this is not the end. Remember, Fred, every end is just a new beginning. Every end is just a new beginning." Have you noticed that the last book in the Bible ends with a new beginning? It speaks with passion, deep longing and hope of a time when God's home will be among mortals. Now, for some readers, this passage has absolutely nothing to do with the here and now of their lives. They see this as an idyllic, never to be fulfilled dream. Just a beautiful isle of somewhere. For others again, there is no mystery or question about a distant or a faraway God. They discover an immediate presence from the moment when they realize that John's prophecy has to do with God in our midst, on this side of the grave. Have you not seen? Have you not heard? The entire Bible speaks about God through Jesus Christ, who takes up residence in the lives of all who opens their heart to the invitation, "I am standing at the door, knocking, and if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me." So John begins his prophecy in the here and now of you and me, extending the very personal invitation to begin a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And there is a connection between us opening the inner doors of our life and receiving God's promise, saying, "Listen, I am knocking. Are you ready for me to come into your life? Because if you do, I have a New Year's promise for you. I will enter. I will live and eat with you. I will always be with you. And I will make all things new. I will make all things new. Couldn't help to think then of the aged couple who lived in a rural area, and finally they got opportunity to visit the big city for the first time in their lives. So amongst other things, they stood in front of an elevator and they watched in amazement as a little frail old woman stepped through the doors. But imagine their amazement a few moments later when the doors opened again and a gorgeous young blonde walked out. The old fellow could not believe his eyes, so promptly he pushed his wife into the elevator and said, "Your turn, my dear, I'll wait right here." Well, I thought this was obviously a good joke. But you know, it pretty well also expresses our very human desire to experience change, to make our dreams come true, to see the old slip away and be replaced with the new. So I think the appropriate question on this first Sunday in the new year is, will you and I consider God's invitation as we enter 2008? Wrapped up in those four little words is so much hope and longing, as good as new. For instance, the doctor would attempt to reassure you as you prepare for surgery, would say something like, "Well, just a few weeks and everything will be as good as new." Oh, you know and I know. Then we say nothing, but quietly we think, "Thanks, doc, but I know better. My body has been with me for a long, long time. So help me through this, please. But do not try to tell me that I will ever be as good as new again." And there is no reputable marriage counselor that would ever make a promise to a couple who have problems to say to them, "Listen to me, follow my advice, and your marriage will be as good as new." You see, the truth is that the physical heart responds to treatment much more predictably than the spiritual or the emotional heart. As it is in real life, it's also a lot easier to smooth dents and imperfections out of an old car than it is in the case of an endangered relationship. In this world, let's be honest, as good as new, well, very few things really are. However, in faith we believe that when it comes to God's promises, it is more than worth listening. We know that God is not an earthly doctor, nor a marriage counselor, least of all a fixer of motor cars. So we are faced. We are mature people. We are professional people. We're living in a modern world. They can't tell us anything anymore. We have access to more knowledge than any ever before in the existence of this world. Would the preacher then stand on a Sunday morning and make promises good as new, while everybody thinks, "Ha, kid, have you ever been in real life? Would these promises be true? Could God make my relationships not simply as good as new, but entirely new?" And sometimes weeping, "Could God take my broken heart, my shattered dreams, and my defeated spirit and make them new again? I believe that you can safely ask anyone who has lived in faith for a long time. People of faith will tell you the answer and you can trust them. They will say, of course God can. Do you not know? Have you not heard? That is really God's primary business, making new lives from old. God's living presence in our lives teaches us to understand better and to look at life in a new and in an uplifting way. It can change our attitude towards everything. Attitude? Well, modern psychology offers the insight that most of us are only as happy as we choose to be. Circumstances do not nearly affect our attitude as much as our attitude affects our circumstance. Your living is determined not so much by what life brings you as by the attitude you bring to life. Not so much by what happens to you as by the way your mind looks at what happens. Circumstances and situations do color life, but you have the power to choose what the color shall be. Sadly, some people will never really understand this. Some people seem to carry a loser's attitude with them wherever they go. You will recognize them. They are so pessimistic that whenever they smell flowers, they immediately look for a casket. Recently, a young man was seeing his mother off at an airport. She was on her way to visit some old friends. So he greeted her, "Have a good time, mother. Enjoy." To which she replied sternly, "Now, John, you know perfectly well that I never enjoy having a good time." Why do we do it to ourselves? Why do we? Often we keep ourselves in such a frantic emotional state that we fail to see the obvious solutions to our problems. And we need to remind it that none of these things is worth dying for. I think there's so much wisdom contained in the often quoted prayer, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." When God makes all things new in your life and in mine, we get new inspiration. God gives inspiration through His Holy Spirit in the lives of those who truly follow God. The word inspiration comes from the Latin and it means to give life, to breathe into, to put spirit into. Inspiration is a state of mind linked to productivity. For example, inspired artists are likely to produce better works of art. Can you imagine how Michelangelo must have felt when he first walked into the Sistine Chapel and he saw the huge blank dome, and in his mind came the vision of the portrait that he would draw and make and paint. Inspiration, I guess that was the mother of them all. When my life is touched and changed, I will never lose hope again. It's better to go down in defeat while believing in victory, affirming it and striving for it and helping others to strive for it to the very end, than to go down believing in defeat and ultimately submitting to it. See, I am making all things new. The Bible teaches that God offers a new attitude and a new sense of trust and hope. And this new attitude can be mine, it can be yours, by making a conscious decision for 2008 to reach out in faith and to allow God's Spirit to transform your life from old to new. If you've been sitting in this church for years, resisting the temptation to follow God in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, oh, may your temptation change into determination. And may something happen. Because what will happen in the world around us is directly related to what happens in your ministry and mine also in the year to come. When God makes all things new, He enhances our capacity for love. The French Jesuit priest Pierre Teilhard de Chardin said about a century ago, he said, someday, after mastering the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And then for the second time in the history of the world, humankind will have discovered fire. I was wondering, what would happen if all people in the world would suddenly discover something would make them convinced that they only have 5 more minutes to live? What would they say? What would they do? Will it just be complete panic? Well, maybe. But I believe that people will race to the ones they love to get the last opportunity to say, I love you, I love you. And during that precious 5 minutes, every working telephone, cell phones included, will be busy. The entire message of our Christian faith challenges us to be spent thrifts in love. Love is the one treasure that multiplies by division. It is a gift that grows bigger the more you take from it. It is the one business in which it pays to be an absolute spendthrift, to give it away, to throw it away, to splash it over, to empty your pockets, to shake the basket, to turn the glass upside down, and tomorrow, you will discover that you will have even more love than ever. New lives for old. The table is prepared. Will we be asking God here in church this morning to increase our capacity for love? Love for one another. Love for our mission. Love for our challenge. Will we experience, even if our bodies begin to refuse to do what we tell them to do, that we can still sing a new life for old. Oh, I know in whom I have invested my trust. Not just as good as new, but really new. Will happen. It's happened before. It will happen today. If you and I choose to listen again, maybe for the first time this very day, because the same call is still echoing to us through the centuries. Listen, I am standing at the door, knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. See, I am making all things new. Amen.